IT security is a problem that won't go away. No matter what chief information officers and IT directors do, there always seems to be a security problem. Welcome to computerweekly.com, where you can listen to and download interviews with leading experts on key topics of IT management and technology. In today's interview, I am speaking to Martin Sadler, director of HP's Trusted Systems Lab, about how much should we be expected to spend and how much security is enough. Martin will also be discussing some of the work the Trusted Systems Lab is doing to secure the desktop PC environment. Martin, what are you seeing in the real world in terms of IT security?
So there are two factors that we need to consider. One is the way that software is currently being delivered and the sheer amount of software that we're actually producing these days. And the other is the rise in organized crime. So we're seeing new forms of delivery for software. Everything that's happening with social networking and mashups and Web 2.0 is presenting a great number of challenges for small companies and large enterprises in how they access that technology in a safe kind of way. At the same time, we're seeing much more activity from the activists, from organized crime, from terrorist groups, from foreign governments in trying to exploit weaknesses in all of this software to get hold of information or to bring networks down inside companies. Historically, this has perhaps been the kind of attack that we've seen against governments and against banking, but today we're really seeing the same kind of attacks against every large enterprise.
At the moment, I guess IT directors, chief information officers, chief security officers are spending a lot of money on protecting their networks, protecting their valuable data. Do you see this ever stopping? Is there an amount they should spend over which, you know, is too much?
So this is a very interesting question. CIOs will come to HP and they will ask us, you know, my chief security officer is telling me I need to invest in some new firewall technology. Is that the right thing to do? At the same time, the chief security officers will come to HP and say, my CIO doesn't get it. How can you help me explain to them that we need to be making this new investment in technology? So one of the ways we're actually addressing this in HP Labs is we have a project around the economics of trust. We call it trust economics. It's very much about that high level modeling for how you make the determination in terms of the amount of money that you should be spending on security. So historically, again, this has been the kind of a back of the envelope thing. This is one of those areas where we feel a proper scientific footing, a proper engineering footing would be very helpful for people to understand and monitor the level of investment they make, and then see whether or not the things they put in place are actually delivering the value that they think they're delivering.
Now, when we were speaking earlier, you mentioned that you're working with a number of organizations on this project. Can you explain about that?
So in difficult areas like this, it's very unlikely that any one company has all the resources it needs to tackle the problem in a sensible kind of way. So one of the things we're interested in doing is always working with the right partners so that we can make progress in the most rapid kind of way. So for this project, we're working with Merrill Lynch in terms of the actual problems that Merrill Lynch faces in terms of its security. And we're also working with three universities, with Bath, with Newcastle, and University College, primarily to access the kind of skills that we don't have within HP Labs. So we're talking about the kind of social science areas that so that we can understand the kind of trade-offs between people process things and underlying technology. For example, one of the things you could choose to do is you could choose to implement your policy around security, you know, one of those kind of you shall not use USB devices, for example, in some kind of companies. Unless you know how compliant your workforce will be, you really have no idea how effective that policy will be. So do you train your staff, or do you put in place some firewalling technology that prevents certain things happening? And how do you understand the trade-off between those two things? So the modeling is all about understanding that trade-off, and that's what our university partners are helping us with.
Martin, what will be the results of this collaboration between yourselves, Merrill Lynch, and the universities?
So we're hoping we can establish this space on a much stronger footing in terms of understanding the kind of the science engineering of how we make investments. And from there, what you would expect is the consultancy businesses and the tools to actually, you know, help the consultants in the field help customers make the right kind of choices. And maybe customers themselves making the right kind of choices. Putting in, you know, some kind of parameters that measure how compliant they feel their workforce is, some rough and ready stuff around how their networks are designed. But this isn't at the level of modeling each individual machine on your network. This is a macro level view, and then trying to come to some view as to what is the right next step to take in terms of increasing your security.
I think one of the things that businesses look at when making any investment is the return on investment. Will this research be looking at that as well?
Yes, this is all about modeling risks, understanding how to put monetary values on those risks. And this is a very, very hard area, as I'm sure you imagine. And then looking at return on investment for the technology choices or the people or process choices that you make.
What are you seeing in terms of the types of attacks against governments and businesses?
So for HP, we're certainly seeing them getting more sophisticated. In the same way that you can go and buy bank account information online, you can buy login information for individuals in big companies. This trades on the underground. That gives organized crime a foothold into a business. That allows them to install botnet software or Trojan software or spyware or whatever they're going to use as their point of entry, which allows them to do other things. And we're certainly picking up on these kind of more sophisticated attacks within HP.
We've obviously seen governments under attack, and increasingly corporations are now being attacked in a similar manner. Can you give me some insight on that, please?
I think it's very hard from a business perspective to determine where attacks are coming from, whether they're coming from the activist groups, someone with a grudge, whether they're coming from organized crime, in the way that we're seeing gambling sites being attacked, or whether they're coming from, you know, terrorist groups or maybe even foreign governments. It's very hard to know the exact source. What we do see is an increasing level of sophistication. The amount of money that is available out there for organized crime is fueling, you know, an increase in capability out there that isn't perhaps being matched in the way that we're, you know, increasing our capability on the defense side for corporations. Although we put a lot of people through master's courses, an increasing number of PhDs in security, if you look at the number of people graduating, it's probably not as many now as the number of people that are out there attacking. And that makes it hard for companies, and it makes it hard if the skills level of your IT staff needs to keep increasing year on year, how you actually make that happen.
Should there be more focus in education then on getting people, even end users, to understand and appreciate the value of data and IT security?
Absolutely. Very few people graduating, even with computer science courses, have a firm grasp of information resources. Certainly IT professionals and graduates need to understand better the value of information for their corporations. A lot of the attention around security has been on network security, and that's been important to just keep the internet up and running, to keep the intranets up and running for businesses. Given attacks are moving up the stack to focus on applications, we need people to be much more sensitive to the information that those applications are moving around and dealing with.
What type of technologies can businesses and governments buy and implement on their networks in order to protect them?
So one of the large areas that we focus our activity on is around what we call trusted virtualization. Businesses are becoming very familiar with virtualization technologies in terms of increasing their utilization, being able to deal with legacy systems, but at the same time use the latest hardware. We see another really big benefit for virtualization around security. It allows companies to compartmentalize their activities in a way that they've never been able to do before. So if you think about this as from a client perspective, imagine your next generation laptop might have on it a compartment, for want of a better word, that is run by your corporate IT department. They run it, they take care of it, they make sure what's on it. There's another compartment on there that's your personal one. And you can have it riddled with spyware and viruses, but the two can't actually interact with one another in any way that's going to cause a problem. There might be a third compartment on there that's run by your bank to provide you with home banking.
And does this technology exist today?
So we understand how to do the virtualization today. We understand how to secure those virtual machines, those compartments, with technologies like trusted computing. We're still in the process of joining all the dots, if you like, putting all the pieces together to actually be able to offer this to customers in a completely packaged way. It doesn't help to deliver a whole load of raw technology to customers. You kind of got to iron out the creases, take out the wrinkles, make sure that it all works smoothly. Because the one thing we've learned about security is that if you leave it to individuals to do the configuration or put stuff together, they will get it wrong. They're not good at it, so we need to automate it as much as we can. One of the benefits for consumers of this kind of technology and for small businesses isn't just about compartmenting your world in terms of a personal client device, it's being able to take those compartments and join them together to form, if you like, gated e-communities. So if it's a family, granny living 300 miles away can live as part of the kind of the family grouping, if that's what the family wants to have happen. In fact, granny could live in several different family groupings for the various, you know, grandchildren, children that she has. Small businesses can have different relationships with their partners, their suppliers, and be much more inside those organizations without putting the organizations they work with at risk.
In the business sector, that looks a bit like how smaller companies used to deal with the, you know, the big retailers, manufacturers, where they had a modem and they would connect through EDI, a sort of, you know, a secure system, very much, very bespoke. But then the internet came along and made it a lot easier for business to be done. It looks like this is going back to a very much a one-on-one relationship.
So this is getting the best of both worlds. This is getting the security from a dedicated link that we had in the past, pre-internet, and it's, but at the same time, having all of the agility that the internet gives you. So you can use the latest applications, you can share, you can take part in whatever online communities that you want, but at the same time, you have that complete control over the key relationships down which lines, you know, key information is going to flow.
This does beg the question of whether there's a need for standards. Are you on any standards bodies? Is HP on any standards body?
Absolutely, there's a need for standards. And we think it's really important to get the baseline right first. So one of the main standards bodies we're involved with in this space is the Trusted Computing Group, which is all about getting that hardware root of trust inside both client devices and servers and next generation phones and printers and everything right. Think of this like the TCP/IP for security. It's about getting the baseline in a form that everything that builds above can rely on that low level to get security right.
Thank you, Martin, and thank you for listening. If you are interested in finding out more about security, please visit www.computerweekly.com/blogs, where you will find David Lacey's security blog and Stuart King's risk management blog.